All right, welcome everyone to our Wednesday night service. How's everybody doing tonight? Doing good? Everybody ready for fall?
I am.
I think we got more yeses than noes, Miss Mary. Well, fall is upon us, and one thing I'm grateful for is the grass cutting is going to slow down. And but as much as I enjoy cutting grass, I'm just glad that the fall temperatures just kind of slows everything down. So anyway, good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody's been having a good week so far. And we were over at Grace this morning, preaching chapel again, and we enjoyed that. And so had a good time there, really connecting with the young people, I feel like anyway. They may be leading me on to think I'm connecting with them. And but anyway, I feel like I am. And it's always a good time over there. And I do ask you to pray for Grace Christian Academy. They're transitioning now, looking for a new principal. A good friend of mine, Principal Bo, has resigned and left for follow the Lord in another direction. So we'll just remember them. They're having to borrow and swap and trade positions there to cover grounds and all. And that's a lot for a school, having a principal, someone stand in that position, and it not be their main position. And so just remember them. They're still doing good. Grace is doing good. But they just need our prayers for that. And the pastor of Grace Baptist Church, mentioned on Sunday, Pastor Thomas Brown, whose wife is Misty Brown. She works at the school. But their son Dylan has been in the hospital. And it was a mass from my understanding, and his sinus airways close to the brain area. And they've been trying to minimize that. He's been sedated for like a week or so, a couple weeks. And so he's doing better and better each day, but they just got their hands full. He's, again, the dad is pastoring the church, and he's now helping fill in as the principal, and he has a son in the hospital in the Carolinas. And so they all need our prayers tonight. Brother Ceylon just mentioned to me the gentleman who actually paid for the gym over at Calvary Children's Home has passed away, and Ben Rooker is his name, and I was never blessed to meet him, I don't think, but he had a lot going on, and of course, I guess the death was unexpected. He had a lot going on physically, but he passed away suddenly, so remember his family in prayer, in your prayers, if you would. Continue to remember Miss Darlene as she gets better from her foot infection. And I haven't spoke with her this week, but I'm not sure if she's downstairs or not. But remember that. Christy's still trying to get better. She's at home tonight. And so remember her. It's trying to get back on me again. I'm trying to relapse. I'm trying not to relapse on the sickness, but woke up this morning and sinuses and everything going crazy. So I'm on medication for that tonight. I told Miss Catherine if I say something foreign or strange, don't hold it against me. It's the Dayquil talking and the Claritin. But anyway, remember her. Brother Jeff's at home. Miss Sharon's downstairs covering for Christy tonight. Remember her. I believe Miss Glenda, she's doing some better. I'm sure she's at home still getting totally over her sickness. So it's going around. You know, the change of seasons and, you know, things like that. So just remember to keep your hands clean and keep your nose clean. But anyway, continue to remember Miss Dolores Palmer. Checked in with her. She's doing some better, and they've made some changes with her for the better. Not getting into a lot of detail on that, but she is getting better, and so we thank the Lord for that. And again, just remember all the others on the prayer list tonight that we have. Before I get into a couple things to remember on our calendar, does anybody have a prayer request, an update of praise? Hassan?
Pray for my father to get his car fixed soon because he's out of a car.
We sure will.
That's overheated when we were driving to Atlanta to pick up.
Oh. Yeah.
Emergency light came on and all that stuff.
It's kind of scary being on the highway like that. We'll certainly remember this. Got to have a car. Got to have a car. Anyone else?
Cassie, Mary Sam? Cassie called me today.
Yes.
She was telling me about her uncle. He's 90.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's her mother's brother.
Yes.
And he was in the hospital. He was on vacation. And he didn't take his fluid medication for 7 days. Because he wanted to be able to go out and play a children.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that tonight. Let's remember her uncle. Her uncle. Anybody else? Anybody else tonight? Well, let's just remember upcoming events. Next Thursday, the ladies' brunch prayer meeting will be held here at the church. And I didn't mention this Sunday, but the reason for that is so that maybe, you know, more ladies might attend. You know, some may not feel comfortable in the home setting, but may feel comfortable here. And I meant to mention that Sunday morning. It's that little part of it, which is an important part to mention. So, but just remember that it will be in the fellowship hall on next Thursday. Is that 11 o'clock? 11 o'clock. Ladies' prayer brunch. So that'll be a great time then. Also remember the church yard sale Saturday, October 21st from 10 to 3. And for the purpose, again, I say it over and over, but I just want it to be made clear, made known, raising money for the painting of this hallway here to improve the church. And but also ministry outreach, invite people to church. Brother Larry is going to be cooking hamburgers and hot dogs, and of course, donations for that for anybody who wants to eat. And so remember that part of it as well. While I'm on the subject, let me mention a couple things about the yard sale. I want to mention it Sunday. I've had a few questions, which I expected of that. This is just some things I wrote down, some particulars. So I gave you the date. I gave you the time. Naturally, if we're going to start at 10, setup has to be before 10. So be mindful of that, setting up before 10. If you need a table, I don't see any reason why we couldn't use the tables in the fellowship hall, especially the old brown ones would be good. And so you'll have a table to sit your items on. And give your own pricing on your items. But, make it reasonable pricing, and bring good stuff. We don't want 911 knickknacks out there. Beanie Babies from McDonald's about 20 years ago, you might be able to get away actually selling them $10 or $20 a piece. But you know what I'm saying. Just bring good stuff. Again, donations for the cookout, especially for the community on that. Proceeds are going again for the renovations here at the church. And I thought about someone gave me a suggestion, having a designated table so that when people purchase items, they can, bring the item to this specific table and pay for the item there. And Miss Lee Ellen said I asked her to be the banker, very fitting for the occasion. And she thought she was retired, but some folks have asked, well, do I put stickers on stuff for prices? I mean, that'll help if you got stickers. If not, just tell them how much you want to sell it for, and and to pay for it at the certain location. All right, so that's just a few things. I'll mention that again on Sunday when the larger crowd is here. So everybody, does anybody have any questions about the yard sale right now? I'm sure there's some babies in the community whose parents may be looking for toy blocks. So that'll be fine. That'll be fine. All right, so remember that. And we have the Riches coming in town on the 16th, I believe it is. And Brother Don and Sister Carla, always good to have them. I believe it's November 5th, 4th or 5th on the Sunday night. I've got... maybe the 5th, thank you. Got Brother Don preaching for us on that Sunday night. And backing up to October on the 22nd, the day after the yard sale, will be our Youth Sunday. Tentatively, it's supposed to be, but we have it for the 22nd. And then again, the last Sunday of the month is going to be our downstairs fellowship, dinner and devotion. So, as you know, we've been meeting down there for a while, but we're back up here now, but we're still keeping the last Sunday night fellowship downstairs, and I think that'll be special to have that continually. Miss Mary. You know, I got that on my notepad to develop some thoughts about that. Good question. And actually, at home, I got have ready to mention on Sunday, this coming up Sunday. I just hadn't had a time to really talk to anybody. I think we can pull it off, but let me get back with you on Sunday on that. But if we do that, that'll be maybe the last Sunday of the month on that Sunday night, our dinner and devotion time. We may set that aside for a trunk or treat. And so we'll get on that very quick, very quick. Thank you. Yes, yes. Yeah, remember the Martins as they try to get all this figured out with their automobile. And they, you know, of course, CJ, I could see CJ here making a lot of it, you know, how CJ does. They're all fine and safe, but, you know, I would tell CJ, I thought you were going on vacation. I didn't know you was going hunting, you know, with that deer and all. But I'm glad that we can joke about it. I'm glad everybody's okay. And so remember them in your prayers as well. Yes. Brother Seelong. That's another thought. I'm going to hand out flyers to BP, Johnny's, things like that, the weekend before so that people see that. Don't want to do it too early. People have a way of forgetting. And I don't know. I don't know about that. Miss... okay, thank you. And we'll get with Miss Lee Ellen on that. She's our newspaper lady, too. I think it'd be a good idea. Not really sure how much that is, but we'll discuss that a little later. Thank you for bringing that up. It's a good idea. Anybody else? All right. Feels like we're getting some things done tonight, don't it? Sounds good to me. All right. Well, let's all have a time of prayer together, and around the altar or wherever you're at will be fine, and then we'll bring the lesson tonight just after. Text verse tonight is going to be in Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Last Sunday morning, last Sunday night, we were kind of in Bible drill mode. I go through times of staying in one place in the Scripture while I teach or preach. But here lately, we've been in numerous places. And tonight's going to be another Bible drill night. But I do want to ask you, we'll do something a little different. Would everybody be okay? Well, let me ask you this way. I want to call on a couple people to read. We got a lot of verses to cover. If you're comfortable reading aloud, raise your hand. Okay. All right. Raise them again. I'll make sure. All right. One more time. I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. Want to do things a little different. And we're going to do a character study tonight. A character study. I like doing these studies of people in the Bible. And I want to do one on an individual I've never done before, at least not in a long time, and that is Judas. Judas. I want to talk about Judas tonight for a little bit. And I want us to start reading in Matthew. I'll read Matthew 26, verse number 19 through 25. And this is Judas Iscariot. Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 19. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. That's our verses tonight, our main starting verses, Matthew 26, verse number 19 down to verse number 25. And, of course, everyone in here has heard of Judas, I'm sure. And I just thought that it would be an interesting subject, something we haven't done before as far as talking about different people in the Bible. And so Judas, I want to talk tonight about the meaning of his name, the memory of Judas, the memo of Judas, and the man Judas. The meaning, the memory, the memo in the man. Some of this is going to be classroom style, as I've said and done before, giving you information. Some of this, there's no real application to it, but if we can learn and make some kind of application to some of these points, we'll be doing good. And so the apostle, Judas Iscariot. All right, let's look at, or just listen along as I mention the meaning of his name. The name Judas Iscariot. The name Judas means, you ready for this? Praise of the Lord. Judas means praise of the Lord. Who would have ever thought that? Judas comes from the Hebrew name Judah, which means praise. And so we see from the life of Judas that he did not live up to his name. What a sad commentary that is for someone to have a name such as Judas that means praise of the Lord and not live up to his name. We hear the name Judas and we think about the betrayer. But what if Judas never betrayed Jesus? We probably wouldn't think of his name in a negative light, per se. But nonetheless, his name does have some negativity attached to it. And so that's what the meaning of the name Judas means, praise of the Lord. But then Iscariot. Judas Iscariot. The name Iscariot is a form of Greek meaning a man of Kerioth. K-E-R-I-O-T-H. It means a man of Kerioth. This was the town where he was born. A district around Jerusalem that is no longer in existence. So that's the meaning of the name Judas Iscariot. Judas, praise of the Lord, which he didn't live up to his name, and Iscariot, having to do with Kerioth, where he was from, that's no longer in existence. And so that's the meaning of his name. What about the memory of Judas? Well, I'm sure some of you could say, well, he's a betrayer. He betrayed Jesus. He was a sellout. That deceitful kiss on the night that he betrayed Judas. Well, let's look a little closer and listen, follow along. Just listen as I give you some truths, and then we'll turn to some pages. I'll call on some people. The memory, how Judas is remembered. Judas will always be remembered as committing the greatest crime that could ever be committed, that of betrayal and suicide. All right? His name will always be associated with betrayal and treachery, the name Judas. Think about this. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody in here know or has ever met anybody named Judas? You want to know why that is? It's because what's connected to his name. Nobody wants to name their child Judas, who is connected to betrayal and treachery and suicide. And so nobody, at least not in my knowledge, I've never met anybody named Judas, and not many people name their children Judas. Now, there's some Spanish who named their children Jesus or Jesus, and that's a wonderful name. I've met people, you have too, named Isaac and Abraham and Jacob and all the rest, and those are lovely names to name our children. You know, Ruth and Mary and Mary and Mary, you know, Mary and Mary and Mary. That's a wonderful name, Mary is. So we've got three Marys in the room tonight. Mary, Mary, Mary. And so people choose to name their children that's connected to a positive thing. But I've never met anybody named Judas, because that has a lot to do with how he was remembered. Judas will be remembered as one who sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. And so that's the memory of Judas. Then we looked at the meaning of his name. But what about the memo? You say, what do you mean memo? Well, what did Jesus have to say about Judas? I'll tell you what. We're here in Matthew 26. Ceylon, did you raise your hand? Would you read for us verse number 24, if you would, please?
Verse number 24?
Yes, sir.
The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had never been born.
Did y'all hear that? The first memo Jesus said about Judas was, it would have been good if he was never born. That's harsh words. Harsh words. But that's what Jesus said. Letters in red. We won't turn there, but there's other verses, such as Mark 14, 21, and also in Luke 22, 21 through 22, records the same thing. So that's one thing Jesus says, that it would have been good that he was never been born. But also Jesus said this about Judas, that he was the son of perdition. Let's see, Mary Kelly, you want to read, make your way to John 17 tonight? John 17, and we'll take our time, there's no rush. John 17, verse 12. We're through in, for now, Matthew 26. John 17, verse 12. Let's see. Lee Ellen, did you raise your hand? Okay, I have a short memory. Would you make your way to 2 Thessalonians 2, 3? Two people are called the son of perdition. One of them is Judas, and the other one is the devil. John 17, 12, or the future Antichrist, rather, is the other son of perdition. So he's referring to Judas here, the son of perdition. You know what the word perdition means? That word perdition means waste. And it refers to the wasted life that Judas lived and the wrath of God he would face. What a terrible thing it is to live, to spend your life and get to the end of your life and it be just a wasted life. Nothing positive that was done, no kind of career path, not helping people, of course not coming to Jesus and all the rest of it. That was the life of Judas. He is called the son of perdition, meaning he had a wasted life. All right, Miss Lee Ellen, what do you have in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3? All right, and this is speaking of, again, the son of perdition, the future Antichrist, which is also called the son of perdition. And so tonight we have Judas referred to as the son of perdition, and then we have the future Antichrist, which is also called the son of perdition. Let me just say this while we're here, and this is one thing I do want to get back into is getting back into the book of Revelation. We know that we will not be here. The body of Christ, the church of God, will not be here when the son of perdition, the Antichrist, is revealed. We will not be here. We are safe from wrath to come. Now, how close to that, Brother Don, we get, I don't know. I do know things are getting bad and they're getting worse, like a woman in travail, so to speak. Those growing pains, those birth pains, I like referring to when Lily was born, back September 23rd, 2007. Remember Christy, take her to the hospital about 3 o'clock in the morning, and took her to the hospital. She was, I can't remember how far along she was, but she was almost halfway to delivery point, and the sun was coming up, and that little TV monitor, every time she would have a contraction, that little... that line would, and the machine would beep and get real fast and go up, and she'd grip the side of that bed, and then it'd start going down like that, and she'd, and then I see it start to climb again. I said, hold on, honey, and then there's that line go up, beep, 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 and then go back down. Those are contractions. The baby's coming. The baby's coming. And in like manner, one day when Jesus comes, he's coming for us. Well, we're going to be raptured out of here. We're going to be caught away, taken away. And this will happen before, I believe, the tribulation time period. And also the Antichrist being revealed. And some may differ on that point, but I just don't believe. You believe that, Selah, that we're going to be gone before the Antichrist? Don't know how close, sir. We don't want to be here. And when you start getting into the Antichrist and future events and things like that, things we're going to be saved from, you start talking about, okay, what is this Antichrist going to do? A false peace treaty, with Israel. And then halfway through that, he's going to break it. And then, so don't worry, we're going to get into some of this. We're going to get into some of this. Brother Jack was here, Jack and Jackie, on Sunday. And every time I see Brother Jack, I think about the book of Revelation. Y'all know how good a teacher he is on that. And so maybe he'll come back through and he can share some lessons on that. But just by seeing him reignited my fire on the book of Revelations. And so we're going to get into some of that. The Antichrist, son of perdition. Judas, the son of perdition. Jesus, here's another memo. Jesus called Judas a devil. Who else had their hand up to read? Anybody want to read? I'll read this time. John chapter number 6, not far from it, verse 70. Okay, Lily, yeah. I'm calling you in a minute, Lily. John chapter number 6, listen to this, verse 70. That's a big chapter right there. John 6, verse 70. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." Jesus called Judas a devil. Strong language. It would have been good if Judas was never born. It would have been good if Judas was never born. Judas is a devil. And so Jesus is calling it like it is. He's a son of perdition. He called him a devil in these verses here. But also, this verse tells us that Jesus says he was chosen, or he chose Judas to be an apostle. Verse 70 again. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? He chose Judas to be an apostle, knowing of his betrayal. How about that? We're going to get into that in a moment. And so Jesus, knowing he was going to betray him, still chose him to be an apostle, although he called him a devil, although he said it would have been good if he was never born. Why would Jesus still choose him to be an apostle? No answers. We'll get to that in a minute. Another memo. Jesus says that there was one among the apostles who was not clean. Now, a lot of these memos and lines I'm giving you, lines of truth, they run close together. But let me just read you this while I'm here. He said that there was one among the apostles that was not clean. John 13, verse number 10 and 11. Jesus saith to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash,
but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. There was one that wasn't clean." And so we see that there. Jesus says that there was one among the apostles who was not clean. All right. Lily, John chapter number. these 12 Jesus sent forth to preach the gospel. And so he was a preacher. Again, I said we're going to get to the point in a minute about why Jesus would even choose him to be an apostle and even have him preach. But nonetheless, he was a pretender. He was an imposter. And again, as we were just saying, there are pastors and preachers and teachers and Christians even, so-called Christians, who are imposters. They may look like a Christian. They may talk like a Christian. They may have the bumper sticker on their bumper that says, "I'm a Christian." Real, you know, I seen a bumper sticker one time that says, it said, what did it say? It said, "Don't honk if you love Jesus, tithe if you love Jesus." Anyone can honk. See, like, you ever end up?
Our seminaries are turning out preachers and teachers that don't believe in the virgin birth. So how can you be saved if you don't believe in the virgin birth?
That's right, brother. That's absolutely true. Seminaries and college, they have their spots, but the teachers got to be careful that teach and always make sure the ones that they're teaching and turning out preachers are actually saved at the same time. So sad, true. So he was a preacher. He held his position. Judas even fooled the other apostles so much that they didn't know he was a betrayer. I'll read John 13. John 13, verse 21, briefly. Listen to this. He fooled the others. John 13, verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Judas fooled the other apostles and disciples. And if this can happen with the 12, it can certainly happen in the local church. He was the one holding the purse. You know, we come in here on Sunday night, Wednesday, and, you know, we're family, we're church family, and we look at each other, and
That's what we see here with Judas and his character. He was a hypocrite. All right, we've still got plenty of time. Another thing about his character, we said he was lost, but another place says that Judas was an unbeliever. Let me give this one to you, then I'm going to call on a few to read the next few verses. This is in John 6, 64. Listen to this, 6:64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And so he called him an unbeliever. Judas was an unbeliever. All right, this has to do with his character. He was a hypocrite. He was an unbeliever. But also Judas was devil-possessed or demon-possessed. Let's see. Who wants to read who hadn't read yet? Luke 22, verse 3. Whoever gets there first, just start reading, be fine. Luke 22, verse number 3. I like this point. I want to say a couple of things about it in depth, in particular. Judas was devil-possessed. Did y'all see that? Then Satan entered into Judas. You may already know this. I'm sure you do. But someone who possesses Jesus, the Bible says, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. A believer, a Christian, a saved person cannot be demon-possessed, cannot be devil-possessed. Judas was devil-possessed. That's why he did what he did. Not only he did what he did because he was devil and demon possessed, but just the fallen nature too, the nature of the fall of man and being devil possessed. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And so he was devil possessed. This is more proof that Judas was lost. For Satan and the Holy Spirit cannot live in the same person at the same time. Again, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Someone asked one time me about a person that's saved. Said, you think they're demon-possessed? I said, no, they're not demon-possessed. So they're not demon-possessed. I said, they may be demon-oppressed. You see, listen, tonight we can't be possessed with a demon, but we can be oppressed. Meaning the devil can stir things in your mind. Our minds is not redeemed. He can impress things on our minds. He can cause trouble. As you know, the Lord has given him the power over the air, this atmospheric region that we live in. He has power for now. He has ability. You know the story of Job. God allowed the devil to sift Job. And, of course, it turned to Job's benefit in the end. And he just used Job to prove the devil wrong, that Job was a righteous man who loved God and would not turn his back on God. And but we cannot be demon-possessed, so you don't have to worry about that. But you can be oppressed. And so the devil can certainly try to rock the boat in your life and mine. All right, so we see that. And then Judas was full of greed, full of greed. Let me give this one to you. Mark 14, verse number 10. Mark 14, verse number 10. Judas betrayed Jesus for money. And back to what Brother Celon said earlier, Judas was the treasurer of the 12 apostles. But Mark 14, verse number 10, the Bible says, and Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And so we see in those verses that Judas was full of greed. He was after money. And then in John, I'll just give it to you. When I say we got a lot of verses, we got a lot of verses. There's no way. John 12, verse number 6. Listen to this. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, talking about the ointment that was given, shared, anointed on Jesus. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. He had the bag. He was a treasurer. He bare what was put in. One person said that word bare means that he kept part of the money for himself. I could see it both ways. He bare the bag. He carried the bag, or he stole from the bag. I think it was both. He carried the bag and stole from the bag. And so Judas, he was full of greed. Judas stole money from the bag. He carried, the term bare. That's what that means, to keep part back for himself. And verse number 6 plainly says that he was a thief. All right, something else about the character of Judas. In John 13:30, I'll just give it to you. The scripture says that when Judas betrayed Jesus, it was nighttime. Listen to this, John 13, verse number 30. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. It was night. What's so special about that, that it was night? Well, this was fitting for one that lived a life of darkness and had sinful pretense. They do things in the night. So Judas went out at night. It was at night that he betrayed Jesus. That's what the scripture says. Of course, again, this was fitting of the life that was full of darkness and sinful pretense. A lot of crime happens during the day. They don't care anymore. Thieves and robbers, but a lot of the times it's at nighttime. You know, why do we put up emergency lights? Why do we have cameras? Why do we have things like that? Because of the sinfulness of man, the greediness of man, the demon possession of man has men out at night doing sinful deeds. And so we see that it was at night. And so we can see the progression of sin in the life of Judas. At first, there was greed. Next, he became a thief. Then he became a betrayer. And finally, he committed suicide. Lust turned to sin, and sin brought forth death. Don't turn there, but James 1, verse number 13 through 15, talks about sin bringing forth death. Let's see here.
I still think he had a choice.
Yes, he did. That's it. And you're teaching my lesson. No, you're fine. Thank you. That's what I want, some interaction. But certainly, he had a choice. He had a choice. My next point was the choice of Judas. We're in tune, brother. We're in tune. The choice of Judas. We talk about his character, but his choice. Like the other apostles, Judas was chosen by Christ. Judas was chosen to be a traitor. What about that? He was chosen to be a traitor. John 6:64, we're going to get to what Ceylon said in just a moment. John 6:64 says this, I read it a moment ago, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. So he knew about Judas in the beginning. He was actually chosen to be a traitor. There's other verses, chapter 13, verse 18, 17, chapter 17, verse 12. But God knew that Judas would betray him, and God chose him for what? To fulfill his will. God chose Judas to betray Jesus, because that eventually led Jesus to the cross. You say, I can't understand that. Well, welcome. You know, they call it, a lot of people refer to the sovereignty of God. the working of God. Why does God do what he does? Well, God does what he does because he's God and we're not. And he ultimately has the plan. And so he chose Judas to betray himself because it would ultimately send him to the cross. And so we see the choice of Judas. Now, we're going to get to that at the very end. But certainly Judas did have a choice. And I agree with Ceylon. He had a choice because Jesus has not condemned anybody to hell. For God so loved the world, that includes Judas, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Judas certainly had a choice. Do you have a hand up? He asked for forgiveness, but it wasn't forgiveness of his sin. And you too are teaching my message, my lesson. Y'all, we are one tonight, church. We are one tonight. Yeah, let me skip a few things, and we're going to get into the, because that is a very good point, very good point. The craftiness of Judas. We talked about, let me find my page here. The character, the choice, the craftiness. All right? And I'm just going to run through these. We've got quite a bit to share before we close. Judas sought for the right opportunity to betray Jesus. He carefully planned out his betrayal. He knew the place where Jesus would be. Judas guided the Roman soldiers to Jesus. Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. That's in Matthew 26, verse 47 through 50. All right, that's the craftiness Judas was planning. Now, quickly, the contrast between Judas and Jesus. Listen to this. Judas was the son of perdition. Jesus, the son of God and the son of man. Judas was devil-possessed. Jesus was Holy Spirit-possessed. Judas died because of sin. Jesus died for sin. Judas took his life. Jesus gave his life. Judas died in bitter sorrow. Jesus died with a joyful attitude. Judas hung from a tree by a rope. Jesus hung on a tree by nails. Judas went to hell, and we're going to bear that out. Jesus went to heaven. Those were some interesting contrasts, I thought, between Judas and Jesus. All right, now that's the contrast and the conclusion. Let's all turn to Matthew 27. Let's look at this verse that talks about when Judas asked for forgiveness. Matthew 27. In verse number 3. I do believe, before I read, that any murderer, any thief, anybody who does those things, any rich person, any just well-off person in a career, the rich, the poor, and everybody in between can be saved and go to heaven if they repent of their sin and turn to Jesus through faith. They will be saved by grace. Now, chapter 27 of Matthew, we see that Judas repented himself, meaning he realized the horrible thing that he did. Let's look here. Let's just read from verse number 1 down through verse number 10. We'll bring it to a close just after this. This is the last point anyway. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, listen carefully, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, is it not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood? And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Now, verse number 4 says, Judas said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. He was sorry for getting caught, basically. He was sorry. He realized he did a horrible thing. All right? But nowhere does it say that he prayed for forgiveness. Nowhere does it say that he repented to the Lord to pray for forgiveness. He was one who was, he was lost. You say, what about the thief on the cross? Well, that was different. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Some may differ with me on this, but I believe it was because of what he did he was sorry for to an extent, but he never repented. He never asked the Lord. He never prayed to God. There's no indication that he prayed for forgiveness for his sin. He was just sorry. There's a lot of people who are sorry they get caught. There's a lot of people who sometimes are mournful over their actions, but they're never sorry over for what it caused Jesus. It put him on the cross and all of those things. But that's what we see here, is that he was sorry that he got caught. Again, let's read it, verse number 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he went out and hung himself. I don't think this feeling that Judas had, where he felt bad over what he did, has anything to do with salvation. I think it has to do more so of being caught. Anybody want to comment?
Let me jump ahead one more time.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I believe Jesus would have forgiven him,
mm-hmm,
if he had repented.
Yes. Yes. And that goes back to the choice of Judas. While Judas was chosen, and again, Judas had a choice. Jesus died for the world. Although Judas was chosen for this, to betray Judas, so Jesus would go to the cross. Judas to betray Jesus, so he'll go to the cross. You say, well, that's just still hard to grasp. Well, there's some things we just can't grasp. It's just in the foreknowledge of God and in his plan. While this needs to be shared and taught on, and it answers a lot of questions, sometimes it creates more questions than it answers questions. Let me mention this. Judas became greatly distressed at what he had done, but nowhere does it say he repented to the Lord to pray for forgiveness. Does that help at all, Miss Mary Kelly? Does that make sense? Yeah. He just didn't ask for forgiveness. He just felt bad about it. He never asked for forgiveness. And that's how the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in our God, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so forgiveness was there for him. A place in heaven was there for him. But he never asked Jesus to save him. Exactly, yes. And I want to further prove that point, if I could, briefly. Acts 1:25, quickly. Acts 1:25, we're trying to wrap this up. Listen to this. Acts 1:25. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. That is in reference to his own place reserved in hell. Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. He never asked for forgiveness. He went to his own place. And I believe every commentator that you read after will give that same kind of conclusion. You know, when you read verses in the Bible, there's a faith value aspect you see. Oh, he repented. Oh, he's saved. But then when you start digging in, sometimes it means something totally different. But that is a very good question tonight. Judas went to his own place. No doubt a place reserved in hell is what the scripture is referring to here. And in conclusion, the 30 pieces of silver were used to buy a field that became a cemetery to bury strangers in. And back it up a little bit further, he committed suicide by hanging himself. Peter says that Judas fell and his bowels gushed out. Acts 1:18. This could have several possible meanings. It could be that as he was hanging, the rope broke and his swollen body hit the sharp rocks below and busted open. It could be that someone cut him down, thus causing his body to hit the rocks, or maybe he was taken down and cast into the field. At any rate, his body fell and his inside busted out. So tonight, in a nutshell, that's a look at the Apostle Judas. And I knew when I dug this out, we did an in-depth study in Bible college on this. I knew when I dug it out that we may end up with more questions than answers. And but you know what? Sometimes it's good because it gets us digging. But we're going to have some more things along this line on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. Get us thinking, get us stirring. And so we'll go ahead and conclude service. Anything to mention? Thank you. And for the record, I do believe anybody can be saved. All right. Thank you, Father, for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for this study. I pray that we would continue to dig deep in the Scriptures, Lord, and really have something to chew on, whatever direction you have us go in any particular service. Be with us tonight. Keep us safe. Be with those who are sick. Bring us back safely on Sunday. We'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.